Good morning. My reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Well, like all of you, I'm assuming out there, Jesus has never actually appeared to me walking on water, inviting me to join him in a literal sense. But I have seen God at work in my life in other ways, in ways that left me with no doubt that he was with me. So I have four kids, as many of you know, 7, 4, 2, and 7 months. And my four-year-old son, Tucker, has been waking up some nights lately having night terrors. We rush in and we find him yelling and shaking and crying and talking incoherently, and it's terrible and kind of scary for me even. We hurry to him and hold him. We talk to him, but it usually takes a while for him to recognize that he isn't alone in his nightmare anymore. Sometimes I take his face in my hands and I gently turn him towards me. I say, "Mommy's here, Tucker. Here I am." We can always tell when he's really woken up because his voice becomes clear and high-pitched and familiar. "Hi, Mama," he says, before laying his head peacefully on his pillow and just falling back to sleep. When I think back on times that I've seen God moving in my life and in my family's life, I can think of a number of moments when God has essentially taken my face in his hands like a parent and turned me towards him and said, "Here I am." Sometimes I was caught up in my own terror, like little Tucker, and other times there has been some unexpected illness or accident or tragedy. Still other times I've simply been living my life distracted by the day-to-day busyness. And I'm going to tell you today just three such instances. So the first, I was in high school, and I was driving with my friends. We were about to cross the bridge from Sioux City, Iowa, to my hometown of South Sioux City, Nebraska, and we hit a red light. This particular intersection was known to be a pretty dangerous one, but I wasn't thinking about that because I was just a kid and I was just goofing around with my friends in the car. I saw the light turn green, but I didn't go. I don't know why. I saw it turn green and I should have gone. I just didn't. Until suddenly a car blew through its red light and went flying through the intersection where we should have been, if I had gone. I hadn't seen the car. I didn't hesitate for any known reason. I just didn't go. And because of that, my friends and I were not in the intersection when that car blew through the red light. I saw it then as God's hand, and I still do. Here I am. He spoke through my distraction and busyness. My second story happened about 6 years ago, and we had at the time a 10-year-old and 12-year-old foster kids living with us. And our 10-year-old foster daughter was having a particularly terrible day. The poor girl had been stuck in a meltdown for hours. She was spent, and Rick and I were totally exhausted and overwhelmed. I can remember calling our caseworker that day because we felt like we were completely at our wits' end. What were we going to do? We couldn't see how we'd make it through just that one day. We discussed emergency respite care with our worker, but nothing was figured out yet. The meltdown was finally over, but the day still stretched out ahead of us, a day with a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, and our almost 2-year-old daughter, Maisie. And we had nothing left. Then out of nowhere, the doorbell rang. It was our next-door neighbor, who had no idea what was happening at our house. She told us she wanted to take the two older kids to a play at her church that night. She would take them out for supper first, then take them to the play. It was exactly what we needed in that moment, and I knew it was God's prompting that put her where we needed her, right when we needed her, and her faithfulness. God spoke to me in my fear and exhaustion and said, "Here I am." My third story came just this spring. My older brother Dan and his wife Sarah walked into his doctor's clinic early one weekday morning because he was having severe kidney stone pain. While he was there, he got lightheaded and had to sit down. He told Sarah that his eyes had gotten weird and that he wasn't seeing right. The staff in that waiting room recognized his stroke symptoms right away and sent them to the nearby St. Francis ER, which in turn sent him by ambulance to United Hospital in St. Paul. It turns out Dan had an AVM, a malformation in his brain that he had been born with that had started to bleed. And where was he when it started bleeding? Not in his car on 169, driving his two-year-old to daycare like he usually would be. He was in the doctor's office with a kidney stone. A few days later, Dan was scheduled to leave the hospital and go home and take it easy for 3 weeks while his brain stabilized enough for a safer surgery to remove that AVM. The night before his discharge, he had a horrible headache. But headaches were a side effect, so no one thought too much of it. The next morning before discharge, they decided to do one more CT scan, and they saw that he was bleeding again. A nurse later told them that if he had been home at the time, he may have simply laid down to keep sleeping off the headache and probably wouldn't have woken up. Instead, he was in a neuro step-down unit with a CT scan at the ready and nurses and doctors immediately available to swoop in and prep him for emergency brain surgery. But there was more. Dan's neurosurgeon, the one who literally wrote the book on this procedure, had been scheduled to fly out that Sunday morning on that very day. A family scheduling conflict, however, delayed him by one day, and so he was there. So his neurosurgeon was available on that day to do the brain surgery that saved my brother's life. I so clearly saw God's hand at work in all of this, in the timing and the places and the people. Dan's AVM is completely gone now. He's home with his wife and his two-year-old son. His vision is restored. His cognitive function is back to normal. And when I asked him if I could share his story with you today, he said, "Be sure to tell them how great the nurses and housekeeping were, too." I know that life is hard and sometimes impossible to understand, and sometimes we don't get the answers that we so desperately are looking for. But every once in a while, in the midst of everyday distractions or loneliness or fear or sudden tragedies, God has taken hold of my face and turned me towards him and reminded me, "Here I am."